ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So this verse is without meter, so we'll just read the word for word translations. Yaha, anyone who, Idam, this, Bhagavata, by exalted devotees, Sabhajita, greatly worshipped, Avadata, pure, Guna, whose qualities, Karmanaha, and activities, Rajarishe, of the great saintly king, Bharatasya, of Bharat Maharaj, Anucharitam, the narration, Svastiayanam, the abode of auspiciousness, Ayushyam, which increases one's duration of life, Dhanyam, increases one's fortune, Yashasyam, bestows reputation, Svargya, gives promotion to the higher planetary systems, the goal of the karmis, Apavargyam, gives liberation from the material world and enables us to merge into the Supreme. The goal of the Jnanis, Va or Anushruti, always hears, following the path of devotional service. Akyasyati describes for the benefit of others. Abhinandati glorifies the characteristics of devotees and the Supreme Lord. Cha and Sarvaha, all, Eva, certainly, Ashishasha, blessings, Atmanaha, for himself, Ashaste, he achieves. Na, not. Kanchana, anything. Parataha, from anyone. Iti, thus. Translation. Devotees interested in hearing and chanting, Shravanam and Kirtanam, regularly discuss the pure characteristics of Bharat Maharaj and praise his activities. If one submissively hears and chants about the all-auspicious Maharaj Bharat, one's lifespan and material opulences certainly increase. One can become very famous and easily attain promotion to the heavenly planets, or attain liberation by merging into the existence of the Lord. Whatever one desires can be attained simply by hearing, chanting, and glorifying the activities of Maharaj Bharat. In this way, one can fulfill all his material and spiritual desires. One does not have to ask anyone else for these things, for simply by studying the life of Maharaj Bharat, one can attain all desirable things. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. The forest of material existence is summarized in this 14th chapter. The word bhavavtavi refers to the path of material existence. The merchant is a living entity who comes to the forest of material existence to try to make money for sense gratification. The six plunderers are the senses, eyes, ears, nose, tongue, touch, and mind. The bad leader is diverted intelligence. The intelligence is meant for Krishna consciousness, but due to material existence, we divert all our intelligence to achieve material facilities. Everything belongs to Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but due to our perverted mind and senses, we plunder the property of the Lord and engage in satisfying our senses. The jackals and the tigers in the forest are our family members, and the herbs and creepers are our material desires. The mountain cave is our happy home, and the mosquitoes and serpents are our enemies. The rats and beasts, vultures, are different types of thieves who take away our possessions. And the Gandharva Pura is the phantasmagoria of the body and home. The will of the wisp is our attraction for gold and its color, and material residence and wealth are the ingredients of our material enjoyment. The whirlwind is attraction for our wife, and the dust storm is our blinding passion experienced during sex. The demigods control the different directions, and the cricket is the harsh words spoken by our enemy during our absence. The owl is the person who directly insults us, and the impious trees are impious men. The waterless river represents atheists who give us trouble in this world and the next. The meat-eating demons are the government officials, and the pricking thorns are the impediments of material life. The little taste experienced in sex is our desire to enjoy another's wife, and the flies are the guardians of women, like the husband, father-in-law, mother-in-law, and so forth. The creeper itself is women in general. The lion is the wheel of time, and the herons, crows, and vultures are so-called demigods, pseudo-swamis, yogis, and incarnations. All of these are too insignificant to give one relief. The swans are the perfect Brahmins, and the monkeys are the extravagant sudras engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. The trees of the monkeys are our households, and the elephant is ultimate death. Thus, all the constituents of material existence are described in this chapter. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Maditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langai Tegarim Yat Kripa Taraham Bande Shri Guru Dinataranam Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram. So the verse is a benediction given by the speaker to those who are hearing. And the point is, in the translation, the process of Shravanam Kirtanam, regularly hearing and chanting. Therefore, in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's described Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya. And Nityam means regularly, every day. Hearing from Srimad Bhagavatam. All of the topics from Srimad Bhagavatam are worth hearing and can bring about a change in the heart, because all of the topics in Srimad Bhagavatam are in relationship to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Lord, His various incarnations, and His devotees. Bharat Maharaj is a great devotee of the Lord. And here it's explained that if we just submissively hear about the characteristics of Bharat Maharaj, then so many benefits will be there. Whether one is free from material desires, whether one is filled with material desires, or whether one desires liberation, still one should do devotional service. Because by rendering devotional service, namely Shravanam and Kirtanam, right? Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and chanting, then gradually the inauspicious things that are within the heart become wiped away. But we don't have so much attraction for Shravanam and Kirtanam. You know, we can sit in a class for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, and then... Right? What the researchers say is that the attention span for a person is about... Anybody know? How long is the attention span? 20 minutes? 20 minutes or so. So after that, it's difficult to keep the mind focused on a thing. It goes out there on what we have to do or what we've did or so many different things. When the mind gives unlimited things to think about. In fact, the mind is not so much attracted to think about Krishna. It's not practiced to think about Krishna. In fact, in one part, Srila Prabhupada said, the mind would rather think of anything but Krishna. He calls it the rascal mind. So that's what we're dealing with. The person that we listen to the most is our rascal mind. It's our chief advisor, friend, so-called. What does Bhagavad Gita say in the 6th chapter? For one who's conquered the mind or controlled the mind, it's the best of friend. But if we haven't controlled the mind, Krishna says, it's our shatru, our enemy. Right? The greatest enemy. Right? So this process of shravanam and kirtanam about the characteristics of such a great devotee as Maharaj Bharat, it helps us to conquer over the mind, to control the mind, to have the mind become subdued. Generally, people are interested in these things that are mentioned, but they're all kind of material benedictions. To go to the heavenly planets, to merge into the existence of the Lord. Right? These are not the goal of devotees. Devotees aren't interested in these things. So one may ask, well, why are these benedictions being offered? It seems like the speaker here is encouraging people to do devotional service for some material benefit. Whereas we read in other places, if a leader or a guru, a teacher, if they encourage their student, disciple, or follower in fruitive activities, material activities, it's just like taking a small child to the ledge of a cliff and throwing them off. You know, it's just like pushing somebody out the window. Right? So how is it that this verse is here? Well, the point is not that we should submissively hear about Bharat Maharaj so that we can attain the heavenly planets, or that we can emerge into the existence. But even if you wanted these things, still you should do devotional service. Tivrena bhakti yogena. By all means, engage in devotional service. Why? Because one will ultimately become purified of these desires for fruitive activities. As long as we have a pinch of desire to enjoy the results of our activities through fruitive activities, then we have to return back to the material world, where we wouldn't be allowed to enter into the spiritual world. Right? It's like if you buy a ticket to go to the movie, on the back side of the ticket it says, the management reserves the right to not allow anyone in, you know, as they feel fit. So it's the same way in the spiritual world. There, it's not that anyone can get into the spiritual world. Right? They reserve the right not to allow the persons who aren't fit to come into the spiritual world. In fact, we understand that if the mentality is proper, one is in the spiritual world. Ihayasya hare dashe karmana manasagira nakilat vapivastastu jivan muktasa uchite. That one who completely engages the mind, the words, the body, or the activities in the service of Krishna, they're already in the spiritual world. They're not in the material world. They're jivan mukta. They're already self-realized. That's the position that we would like to come to, right? To be fully engaged in the service of Krishna with our mind, our body, and our words. What is the alternative if we don't do that? If we don't engage our mind, our body, and our words in the service of Krishna, then what can we expect? Well, Srila Prabhupada's purport summarizes the whole chapter, and this is what we can expect. Nothing more than this. We'll get a material body again and again, and we'll be enamored by the interaction of the senses with the sense objects. And those are compared to the six plunderers. Right? You're walking in the forest, you're expecting to get some, I don't know what they look for in the forest to sell, but something, maybe magic mushrooms or something. You pick them and you can sell them to people. But in the forest, there's these dangerous plunderers. They'll attack you. Right? And one of those plunderers are senses. Right? The senses distract us at every moment, thinking that we can smell something that we like, or see something that we like, or of course taste something, right? That's why there's so many restaurants. All the time, new restaurants. Little Italy, Big Italy, all these different things are coming up, right? And they're all full for the tongue. Just like the fish. The fish has got so much food in the ocean, right? But somebody sends down a little worm or something on a hook, and just because his tongue wants to taste that, he grabs that worm and he's caught. Right? So all the senses are like that. The animals, they have one particular powerful sense, like an eagle. You know, you see these, what do they call them, kikes? They fly in the sky, right? Hawks. Or they can go up 2 miles or 3 miles up and they can still see down a small rat or something and lunge for it. They have a very powerful sense of sight, right? And the moth is attracted by seeing the flame, right? But when the moth flies into the candle flame, what happens? Finished. The deer, they're very fond of hearing attractive music. The hunter plays a nice flute or some musical instrument, and the deer becomes captivated. And in that way, the hunter can capture the deer. And Srila Prabhupada describes about how they catch an elephant. And how can you catch an elephant, such a big, huge animal, right? Well, he explains that they dig a big pit, and on the other side they put a female elephant, right? So when the male elephant sees the female elephant, he runs far, but he falls into the pit, and he's captured. Right? Such a big animal. It's captured. So in that way, these different animals have one very strong sense or urge, right? But in the human form, all of the senses are pulling us every which way. And therefore, it's recommended in Srimad Bhagavatam, right, to hear and to chant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. And then the six plunderers of the senses won't be able to cause our entrapment. So the bad leader, you know, people are in the forest and they get in the material world. Some leader comes along and he tells them all, you know, we have to do things for the nation. Follow me. I will lead you to prosperity. Right? And ultimately, he doesn't satisfy everyone. He doesn't lead them to prosperity. Just like we saw in the Hitler. Right? He had the whole of Germany completely supporting him. And then he went to war. And this foolish leader they're following so blindly right into catastrophe. All of Germany was destroyed. And so many millions and millions of men were killed. You know, and the German women were praying that their husbands and sons would come home, but they never came home. So they concluded there is no God. Now you go to Germany, nobody goes to the churches. Right? Practically every village, in the center of the village, they have a big church. And nobody attends them. They use them for gambling, lottery, and restaurants. Right? Nobody goes. Why? Because they are misled. In the same way, we're misled by our perverted intelligence. Right? That perverted intelligence explains to us that something other than Krishna is important in this life. Whatever it is. So in order to keep our intelligence purified, Shravanam and Kirtanam regularly is important. It says here, the jackals and tigers in the forest are our family members. Are they? You're speaking like that about my mother and father? Right? If you tell somebody, get a babka hai, they'll say, hey, don't insult my father. Right? But here Bhagavatam says they're just like the jackals and the tigers. Right? Prabhupada talks about how the family members, they take the husband's money, and for that he's very happy. If some outsider tries to pick his pocket, he'll fight, call the police, make a case. But if his wife sticks her hand in his pocket and takes the money, they say, oh, just see how nice. My wife is taking my money. Very nice. It's okay. Plunderers. The jackal. What is a jackal's business? The tiger kills something to eat, and a whole herd of jackals come and try to take it away from him. They fight with the tiger. One jackal will get behind and bite him in the backside, and the other jackal will come around the front and try to steal the prey. Jackals. So the family members are very expert to take everything away. You know, we say, oh, they're my cousins, they're my brothers, they're my whatever it is. But all are simply interested how to take the money. And if you can't give them the money, if you don't have any money, they don't care for you. If you can benefit them, then they're, oh, how are you? And if you can't benefit them, then they don't know you. So, this is the unfortunate situation of the material world. Yeah. We have our happy home, which is compared to the mountain cave. Once I, in my foolishness, I thought I was going to be spiritual, so I left my home and I went to a forest and I lived in a cave. Right? I thought this is going to be spiritual now. And I was living in that cave, and then night came. And at night, I was sleeping in the cave, but then there was all these like bugs that were coming all over the place. And they were crawling on top of me. And I lit a flashlight and I saw all these bugs were coming. And that wasn't very comfortable. And then an owl came into the cave to eat the bugs. So although I was thinking this is my cave, you know, I'm the master of this cave, I was sharing it with so many other creatures. And it wasn't very comfortable. I didn't sleep that night. So it's the same way. We have our home. We think we'll be comfortable. We make all the arrangements, right? But yet we're not comfortable. Right? So many persons are there to disturb us. Right? Even though you have your nice, comfortable home, if somebody talks bad about you behind your back and you come to know, you get very hurt and hurt you and you become disturbed by that. Is it not? Some people become very disturbed by that. So, the purport goes on to explain about the rats, beasts, vultures, Gandharva, Puta, the attraction for gold is the will of the wisp. Who knows what the will of the wisp is? You know what the will of the wisp is? It's a British terminology. Hmm? Yeah. Yeah, it's a light that they see in the swamp, you know, where there's a foggy atmosphere, right? And they think that it's something, when actually it's nothing, right? That's the will of the wisp. Hmm? So we think that in this material world, there's an arrangement that's going to make us happy. That if we work in such a way, we're going to manipulate the material energy in such a way that we're going to be in ecstasy. That's the will of the wisp. It's not there. It doesn't happen. No matter how hard you try. It can't happen. How can it happen? We're spirit soul. Spirit soul is beyond this material energy. It's eternal, full of knowledge and bliss. And what is the material energy? It's temporary, full of ignorance and suffering. So how can the living entity who's full of knowledge and bliss, right, be happy in something that's dead matter, which is only ignorance and suffering and temporality? It's an incompatible situation. It's just like oil and water, right? They don't mix. So imagining that I, the eternal spirit soul, is going to be happening in matter is just like that. It's an imagination. It's not possible. It's not going to happen. And the whole material world is based on it. It's based on this desire for sex life. Sex attraction is the hard knot that's within the heart. You know, the man's attraction for woman, the woman's attraction for the man's body. It's just like a knot that's within the heart. As soon as the two come together for enjoyment, then that knot becomes very tight. Just like if you tie your shoes, sometimes it gets in a knot. If you tie your shoes right, you can pull the string and it opens up right away. But sometimes it gets in a knot. Right? Of course, we don't wear shoes that tie much. We just have chappals, but, you know. Once in a while, your shoes gets in such a knot, you can't get it out. Even try with your teeth to get it out, get the fork and try and get the knot out. You can't open it. The knot is too tight. Right? So that's the knot that's within everyone's heart. Is that attraction for the opposite sex. Right? In material life, that is everything. But in spiritual life, that is not wanted. Krishna consciousness is an opportunity to untie that knot, to loosen the knot. With a very positive alternative of attraction to Krishna and Krishna's holy name. So Srila Prabhupada is giving us these transcendental literatures so that we can make the right choices in our lives. Life is a compendium of choices, one after another, moment to moment. We're choosing things, right? So if we hear regularly Srimad Bhagavatam and the activities of the Lord and His devotees, then we'll choose those things that will help us to be progressive towards getting out of this material world. That's the idea. If one doesn't hear sufficiently, then one will make the wrong choices. One will be diverted from the ultimate goal towards all of these things that are mentioned here in the purport of the forest of material enjoyment. So the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada is giving is it's kind of like a person that's drowning in the well, and you can throw a rope down to him so that he can pull himself out. So that's a very valuable thing, right? If somebody's in the well, they can't get out, they send the rope down. But still that person has to grab hold of the rope and try to pull themselves out, isn't it? So that's our situation. We're in the Krishna consciousness movement, but the onus is on us, right, to take advantage. Of course, ultimately, everything is up to Krishna. No one goes back to Godhead without the mercy of Krishna. It's not by our own endeavor, but we have to show that endeavor so that Krishna will think favorably upon us. And as soon as he does that, then our life is successful. Okay. Therefore, whatever we're doing in Krishna consciousness is simply to try to attract the mercy of Krishna. Whether it's hearing and chanting, worshiping the deity. Right? Today, the temple is distributing prasadam all over, right? Krishna prasadam giving to the people with the idea that we can attract the mercy of Krishna. Krishna will think, oh, just see how they're propagating on my behalf. Right? So everything we're doing is to ultimately bring us to the point of attracting the mercy of Krishna. And if we can do that, then our life is successful. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, and thank you for such a sober view of our situation. You mentioned that we're confronted with choices every day. the material nature is so strong, it seems to me, that actually we don't have many choices. I don't choose whether I like one sub-G or another. It's already destined by my combination of modes, and I don't know if I choose. I don't know how much choice I really have in the matter. The only choices it seems I have is whether I'm going to perform devotional service or not. Everything else seems to be running on my samskaras, my karma. I really have the illusion that I'm making a choice of what I like, but it isn't a real choice. Can you elaborate on the issue of choice and free will and how much choice we actually have in the matter?
Well, I think you made the point. The choice is to choose to serve Krishna or not. And if I choose to serve Krishna, I've made the right choice. That choice at least is with you. If you decide to, you know, get up and go to Mangalartik or just to sleep in, that's a choice you make. My point was, the more you hear and chant, the more you'll make the right choice in terms of devotional activities. Association is a, you know, you can choose to associate with someone or not. If we have a criterion that I want to associate with those persons that are going to help me be progressive in devotional service, that's a choice. But yeah, in the ultimate sense, what you're saying is correct, that we're controlled. You know, we're prakriti. We're controlled. So if you choose to serve Krishna, then you're controlled by Krishna. If you choose not to serve Krishna, then you're controlled by Krishna's material energy. So I agree with you in that sense, that if we don't take advantage of the process of devotional service, then yes, we will be tossed around by the waves of material world, goodness, passion, ignorance, thinking that we're making this choice or that choice to enjoy, but actually we're just being hopelessly and helplessly tossed around by the modes of material nature. Coming to engage in devotional service, now that is a true expression of our free will, and the point I was trying to make is that by regularly hearing, you'll choose to do that on, you know, when you're faced with what are you going to do. Is that okay?
Thank you very much.
Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Kantra Shrimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Itai Gaur Premanandi.